I was reading in the newspaper the other day. Anybody read the newspaper anymore? No one in here. Anyone read the newspaper anymore? No? Okay, good. Well, I just thought I'd read the newspaper. And in the newspaper was an article about facial recognition that can diagnose stroke and other diseases using artificial intelligence. Apparently, Johns Hopkins University is using an algorithm to look at your face, take a picture of a face, and by looking at our faces, we can detect some diseases that we might not have been able to detect before. Yeah, this is in Johns Hopkins. Yeah, this doctor here says that the face is probably one of the most sophisticated signaling systems in the universe. 70%, that's the accuracy of which this algorithm that they're trying to develop will give us some of the diseases that we have, help us to detect them. It says everybody's face is actually oscillating in color very imperceptibly that can be detected with a camera. Apparently, the FDNA has developed a software program that aims to use facial recognition to diagnose rare genetic conditions in young children. Apparently, up to 1,500 diseases can be detected using this facial recognition. Fascinating, huh? Artificial intelligence is helping us detect our diseases earlier. So now we haven't just got to be worried about what we type, we're worried about what we say, but we also want to be worried about what we do with our face, right? Like, oh, don't pull any stink eyes at my preaching today. My name's Keith Arkham, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are in week 2 of our series, Faith in the Digital Age. Yeah, last week, Pastor Kathy talked about how that just like our algorithms, just like our apps, just like our websites, we need a refresh now and again, amen? We need a refresh. Next week, we're going to talk about what we're following, and you'd be surprised at how many things we are following, and we don't even know it, so that's going to be kind of fun next week. And then, now this week, we are talking about building our faith on solid ground. This week we're talking about as for me and my house. Building a home in Florida 70 years ago was not something that people wanted to do. In fact, people who lived in Florida would send postcards to the north, way up north, and say, hey, come down here. And the northerners would send postcards back that said, I'm not moving down to your mosquito-infested, alligator-ridden mosh pit kind of thing, which is where you live. But over the years, we've developed the ability to build homes on this sandy land that we call Florida, right? And now you can't even buy a slab of land for $2,000 a month or something. Can't even rent it. But now we are able to build homes in Florida stably. Sometimes our homes get placed next to sinkholes. Sometimes you might have experienced that where our homes are next to sinkholes and your home sinks into the ground. We know that we've got to place our home next to a place that is a solid ground. Now, I got some pictures for you what that looks like. We're going to get into the scripture of building your house on a sandy land versus building your house on a solid ground or solid foundation. I've got some pictures for you here that actually, these pictures that I'm going to show you today are developed using AI, using artificial intelligence. These pictures don't exist on Google Images. These pictures, I actually said into an app, hey, do me a picture of a house with a storm coming, and this is what came up. Yeah, fascinating. So this, obviously you can see this is a good house. It's it's on solid ground and the storm's coming. It's probably going to survive. On the next slide, it's something a little different. Yeah, that's a great place to build your house, but I'm not sure if I want to live there if a storm come, right? These are the images that are generated. You can kind of see that it's a little false, but next slide, we'll see somebody different or a different kind of house. Now, I don't want to live in this house, right? Yeah. Pretty soon, as the tide comes in, that house is going to fall over and disappear. And these are the images that have been generated by just me saying, build a house on a sandy line. Next slide. Yeah, this is actually, I said, Israel house on the sand. This is what I said into the app, Israel house on the sand. And this is what came up. You can see it's on the sand, but it's actually embedded in a rock as well. So this is what was generated. You can actually see the chair looks a little funky there. So this is what you can see, it's artificially generated. Next slide, I think the last one. Yeah, great place to live. Yeah, when the storms come, you'll know about it, right? Yeah, and these are the kind of images that come up. Yeah, we're on a good foundation, but as soon as the sea state increases, you're going to feel that at your front door. So where we build our house is really important. My father was a builder for 50 years at the age of 14, 1945, just after the Second World War. He was an apprentice bricklayer, and he worked for 50 years putting brick on top of each other. His hands were calloused all of his life from working with cement and mortar, and he would work every day of the week building homes or building bricks. And I thought this was a great profession, and he never really wanted me to go in because he worked really hard all of his life. And in fact, he made out that we had money, but on the weekend, he would do more work with building, and he would go to these building sites. During the Second World War, in our town, there was bricks everywhere, remember? There was just bricks everywhere. And I thought that when there was bricks on the ground, you just pick them up and put them back on each other and everything will be cool. You know, you got a house kind of thing. We would go to these building sites that my father was at on the weekend. My grandmother, who was taking care of us, I remember because she'd always get mud on her new shoes kind of thing that she had on. And we'd visit these places for a bit of a field trip, you know, to go see my father. And every time we went to these places where they were building homes, there was like piles of mud, debris. There was big holes with water in it, maybe a cement mixer on the other side. But I never seen anything getting built up. Finally, I said to my father, and my father didn't have many words to say, but I said to him, Dad, why is it that every time I go to the building site, I don't see anything getting built? I'll never forget what he said. He said, Son, for a long time, they have to dig down to find a deep foundation. All of us are looking for a deep foundation. And Jesus knew that we were going to be doing this even in our digital age. Some of you are stuck to your digital devices so much. And I confess too, I got mine too. In fact, when I pulled up today to come to worship this morning, there was two people at 19 and Tampa Road, and they were going left south on 19, and the light actually went around and went right through because these people were still on their phones. I mean, that never happens to me. But we are absolutely dependent, absolutely stuck to our digital devices. Artificial intelligence is taking over. We're ready for the new upgrade, ready for the new 5G, 6G that's going to come along, that's going to revolutionize our life and the way we live. How are we going to live in the digital age? What is it that we can do to keep going on through these major updates that keep the digital ages continuing to go so fast? How are we going to build? What is it that we are going to build upon in order for us to survive the next upgrade? In Matthew chapter 7 is where Jesus teaches about what we should build on. If you've got your Bibles with you today, open it to Matthew chapter 7. If you're online or you're on your phone like everybody else, open it to Matthew 7. David, sorry, I mean to call you out. In Matthew 7, open it to, and we're going to go to all the way to the end to verse 24. And this is where Jesus is telling us what we should focus on. He's telling us what we should build on. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Now, there's so much in this verse about what he's talking about. First of all, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. So there's two words there, listen and follow, are really important. Now, we're going to get back to them, but what are we to listen and follow? His teaching. And what is his teaching? Where is his teaching found? It's in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. This is Jesus' major teaching, his Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 8 is what he does, how he heals people and how he does the miracles and what he does. He basically practices what he preaches. So 5 through 7 is what he preaches and teaches. Chapter 7 is what he practices. And here is his teaching. Well, we'll just stick to chapter 7 right now. If you've got your Bible open, you can see it. And what is his teaching? Well, there's a couple of do nots and there's a couple of do's. Just in chapter 7, verse 1, he says, do not judge. Do not judge others. You might remember that scripture, and normally something we don't want done to ourselves. Do not judge. And then the next thing he says is, do not profane, or do not waste my name. Do not profane my name or use it in a way that's derogatory to me. And then he tells us something that we should do. He says, do keep on asking me. Do ask me and you'll receive what you ask for. And then after that, he talks about entering the narrow gate of the kingdom of God. And then after that, he says, beware. So these are things that we should do. Beware of false prophets who come looking like sheep, but are really wolves. And then finally, he cautions us. He cautioned us about false prophets. All of this actual section, this chapter that's been put into these sections, is wrapped up and around the key verse, what we call the golden rule, and that's verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and in the prophets. So that's Jesus' teaching. I'm just talking about chapter 7, 5 and 6 is obviously his teaching too. But that's what we are to pay attention to. That's what we are to listen to. Now, those two words are really important. Listen. Listen is in Greek means a couple of things. It means receive news. Receive news. Be aware of that. Be able to hear. Be able to hear what's being delivered to you and obey. So those are the three things for listen. And that Greek word there is akoue. And then follow. That word means perform, cause to, or just plain old do. So when we listen, when we hear Jesus teaching, when we hear it and we do it, what does it say next? It's like building a house on solid ground. Like I said, there's a lot in this one verse. And Jesus doesn't mean house as in the bricks and mortar thing that we put on land, that we try and put on land in Florida next to sinkholes. No, he's talking about our whole lives. He's talking about our mental state and what we really focus on, and whether we listen to the lies that are going around in our head or whether we listen to the truth. He's talking about our emotional state. Why do we have these emotions? What is it that I'm receiving right now? Why am I feeling like that? He's talking about our relationships and the way we relate to each other and how we perform in and amongst in our family. He's talking about our physical state, the what's going on in our lives, our health, the way our bodies function. And of course, he's talking about our spiritual state. Our spiritual state. Yes, our spiritual state exists in and amongst everybody else. And there are other things that our spiritual state can grab onto. But Jesus is saying, if your spiritual state is founded upon my teaching, it will be like a building, your house, building everything on a rock, on solid ground. You can just tattoo that verse across your back for a start. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Notice Jesus says here, though the rain. He doesn't say, if you follow my teaching, there's going to be no rains, no storms, no hurricanes. No, he doesn't say that. He says, though the rains come. He doesn't say, if you follow me and be my disciple, everything's just going to be peachy. He says, though the rains come, though the storms come, though the hurricanes come, my teaching will keep you on solid ground. It won't collapse because it's been built on bedrock. What is it that you have built your life on? What is it that there's a key teaching from your life, like a, something your father said to you, something your mother said to you, somebody close to you said to you, and it's deep down in your life that you're really stuck, and that's your foundation. You've dug down deep. You spent time digging down deep for this foundation, and this is the epicenter of your life. What is that for you? Where is your foundation? How long can you go without this thing? What if this shut down? What about if this thing didn't have a Wi-Fi signal? Ah, no, what am I going to do? What about if we didn't get a service on our phone for a while? We're like, oh no, what am I going to do now? What is it that is foundational for your life? What helps you stay strong? What helps you stay committed in this digital age? Jesus goes on to say in verse 26, anyone who hears my voice, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. So if you hear it, you listen to it, if you obey it, if you take the information in, if you receive the news and doesn't obey it, it says that person is foolish. It's like someone who builds their house next to a sinkhole. It's like placing your house on sand. It's like building your mental state on the next information system that's going to come along. It's like building your emotions on how many likes you get on your post. It's like building your relationships through text message. Yeah, I mean, it's great, but after a while, you just got to pick up the phone, right? It's like placing your physical state on relying upon artificial intelligence to tell you what's wrong with you. It's like placing your spiritual state in just your own mental health. Everything's going to be fine. Positive thinking, everything's just going to be fine. I can do all I need. I am all I am. There's a lot of apps out there now that are helping you with this. And this is all good. But Jesus says, anybody who hears my teaching, anybody who listens to my teaching and doesn't have this as their foundation and doesn't have this what to build upon, he says it's like building your house on sand. What is that sand for you today? There's other teaching out there that sounds like Jesus. There's other programs and things and apps that can help you. But at the end of the day, when the winds come, when the hurricanes come, when the floods come, something happens. And he goes on to say, but. It says but in that verse. And there's always a but. There's always a contrast. Of course, Jesus is contrasting the building on a solid foundation with building on a sand. And there's always contrast all the way through specifically this teaching of Jesus. He talks about judging others and about looking at the plank and somebody, look at the speck in somebody else's eye when you've got a great big plank in your eye. It's like looking, like being a parent, he says, and when children ask you for a loaf of bread, you give them a stone instead. So there's always these contrasts. Yeah, it's like if you enter into the kingdom of God, it's like a narrow gate, as opposed to not entering into the kingdom of God, it's like a wide gate. And Jesus says, if you don't hear, if you don't do what my teaching says, it's like building your house upon the sand. And when the wind and the rains come, so when the wind and the rains come, when the floods come, 27, and when they beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty bash. When Jesus finished saying these things, people were amazed. People are amazed at his teaching because he taught as someone with authority. That means he practiced what he preached. He preached what he practiced. And he was, they were able to see that it wasn't like what the scribes did. My house, if it's built on sand, collapses. In Joshua 24:15, Joshua takes over from Moses, one of the biggest leaders in the Old Testament. And Joshua is trying to get his people back on track, trying to get them back to understanding who they are. And he assembles them on the historical mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And he stands in the middle and he starts to address them about what they're to do. He's like refreshing their relationship with God. And as he talks to them, he says this to them. He challenges them. He says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites? For us, it's serving artificial intelligence. Digital support, Wi-Fi signal. Here he says, would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It was a choice for Israel. It's a choice for us. It's a choice for Joshua of whom we are to serve. I want you to choose to build your house on a rock. Amen? We want to build our house, our mental state, our emotional state, our relational state, our physical state, and our spiritual state on the rock that never falls. There's a song I used to sing when I was a kid, our first church that mom took me to. And it goes like this. If you know it, join in. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rain came tumbling down. Anybody can join in. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock shook them. You kind of got it now, so you guys have got to join in. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. Join in. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it with me. Say it after me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't hear you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Louder. As for me and my house, stand up, expand the diaphragm. Let me hear it nice and loud. As for me and my house, one more time. As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
Amen.